Well, obviously, we made the required moves yesterday to be in compliance with the league roster limits. I would say that this is one step in a process. I think we're going to have more, like every team in the league is going to have other transactions here, whether it be today, tomorrow, or in the near future, that will be important in the development and composition of the team. So let's say at this point, really, it's a little too early for me to comment on the composition of the team because it's still really a work in progress. It's one step, but certainly I don't think we're at the finish line. And I can't imagine that any other team in the league would feel that way either. So I don't think we're any different from anybody else. But in the meantime, we're still plugging away here in Kansas City. And I thought we had a good start yesterday. But, you know, it's going to be important every day this week because all the things that Kansas City does and how difficult they are to prepare for, that we continue to string good days together and be able to move forward in our preparation so that we're, you know, as ready as we can possibly be on Thursday night. So, there's a lot going on outside of the preparations for Kansas City, but really our focus needs to be on that, and that's where it is, other than Nick and some of the personnel people, his involvement in some of the transactions that we've made, and I'm sure will make. All right.
When Dorsett was coming out in 2015, how much time did you have a chance to sit with him and get to know him?
We have gotten a good evaluation of him.
What traits does he have that, you know, make you want to work with him?
I mean, he's a pretty talented player. He's a first-round draft pick. We'll see. I mean, start working with him today and see how it goes.
What do you think made him a first-round pick? Did he do well when he was at Miami?
He's productive, fast, caught the ball well, made big plays.
Is Tim factoring in that punt return?
I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
When is the decision to trade Jacoby to Indianapolis?
To acquire Dorsett.
Tough move at all, especially given some of the toughness and some of the things that Jacoby showed you last year as a rookie?
Yeah, well, if you want to get something, you have to give up something. So that's what trades are.
Similar thought on Cassius Marsh, acquiring him. What traits does he have? If I recall, was he almost like a – what position did he play coming out of UCLA, or was it pretty clear what he would be, offense, defense, or even on defense, whatever position?
Yeah, defensive end.
I thought I might remember he was doing some tight end stuff, but that was off the radar. Maybe I missed on that, but was he
it's like Vrabel-type tight end, but he's a defensive player, he's a defensive end.
What have you seen from him in terms of the last 3 years in Seattle?
He's played defensively. He's played in the kicking game. And we'll see how it goes.
Well, you mentioned yesterday, I think it was, with Flowers, that he in Cincinnati played in a similar system, special teams-wise there. When it comes to Marsh or Johnson, either of those guys fall into a similar category in that what they did at their previous stop will be at all similar to what they might do here?
Yeah, I think we'll probably get a better gauge of that when we spend a little bit more time with them. So we have a little more familiarity with Darren's system. We'll have to see. Between Joe and we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm not sure.
Those players you acquired,
who are primarily special teamers in the last week. As much as you wanted to shore up that unit in general, was there some urgency because of Kansas City and the problems they pose with their return game in particular?
No, I'd say this is more of a, at this point, I think we're trying to get our team ready for the season. I don't think it's geared towards making and acquiring a player for one game. I don't look at it that way, no. We're going to have 15 games after this, so I don't think we're going to want to shuffle our roster every week and take guys on, put guys on, just, when we play a new opponent. That's hard to do. I don't see that.
Bill, is this one of the tougher days of the week when it comes to the first week when you have to balance both the personnel side and the game planning side?
Well, it's always hard to release players, and that's emotionally, personally, that's difficult for any coach. But in terms of that and the game preparations, it is what it is. It's early September, so we do it every year. So it's what we do this week. Done it every year. So do it and move on.
With Cole Croston, his versatility to play guard and tackle sure helps because the more you can do. Does he have any chance to play center? Have you ever seen a look for him there, or would he mostly be?
We'll see.
What stood out to you? I know I asked you on the call the other day, but his availability, he was out there every day. What did he do just to?
Yeah, he's improved. He's worked hard. He's improved. He's still got a long way to go, but I think he's making progress.
Bill, when you're making these roster decisions, how frequently do you have to weigh what a guy might be able to do for you, not just in 2017, but down the line at his position?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to take that into consideration, I think, as a head coach and Nick as the personnel director, that we have to have a vision on 2018, 2019. I mean, we're going to have a team those years. We're going to have a schedule, so we can't ignore that, and we don't ignore it, and we balance that with this current team, whichever year it is, in this case 2017, and you try to strike a balance there. So you look at each player, and then you look at the overall composition of the team, and where you're at on all those things, players, contracts, draft choices, salary cap, so forth. I mean, it's all part of it. Not that you're making final decisions for future years, but I think you just want to have a general idea of what your position is and where you're going to need to go and what your options are going to be. And if you feel comfortable with those, or even if you don't feel comfortable with them, how to make the most of them. Or even if you do feel comfortable with them, still how to maximize them. So, yeah, there's definitely a component of that. I think that's more of a thing that Nick and I look at, as opposed to, an individual scout or position coach or something like that. And I've been in that position, and I know when you're in that position, you just don't have the overall access to, and that's not really the job either. So having done that job, I've been in both spots. I know how that goes, and that's what it is, really. Assistant coaches and scouts give their opinion, give their view on whatever the specific situation is. But on a bigger picture frame, sometimes there are overriding factors or factors that aren't available. That information is not available to everybody. And so, again, when I was an assistant coach and a coordinator, I always, gave my opinion, but trusted the decision-making of the people that were making those decisions, the general manager, the head coach, or whoever it was. So, but yeah, certainly you have to, I don't think you can neglect next season. We're going to have a team next season.
As it relates to Jacoby and the quarterback position, we know what the contractual situations are with everyone, and Jimmy will be up at the end of the year. Jacoby performed pretty well for a guy in a rookie year, and then again on Thursday. You know, look at it in that component and say, wow, they might be kind of empty in March at the quarterback position. So, I mean, do you have to look at the way those tumblers are falling into place as well, or is this kind of a decision for now?
Well, in the end, Tom, we're going to do what's best for the team and make the decisions that we feel are best for the team. So, I mean, with all due respect, I don't think there's any games scheduled in March. I don't think there's any scheduled in April. So what a team looks like in March and April is relevant, but in the end, it's more what the team looks like in September, or I'd say more importantly in December and January. So we never try to build a team for March. We try to build a team for September, and then most importantly, November, December.
For a good majority of the last 6 years, you've carried just two quarterbacks on the 53. When you do that, if you had your choice, would you like to have a third on the practice squad? Or is that one where you just have to sort of wait and see what's available and sort of adjust accordingly?
Yeah, well, I always feel that the best thing to do is to make the decisions that are best for the team. So whatever those are, that's what I'm in favor of. I can't tell you how that's going to go. We're not talking about, you know, papers on a magnetic board. We're talking about real people, talking about real football players, and talking about a real football schedule. So I'm going to make the decisions that I feel put this team in the most competitive position to do that. That's all I know how to do. That's all I can do. That's all I will do. So how that goes, I don't know. But it'll be in what I think's best. So just have to try to figure out what that is. And with help from Nick and his staff and this and everybody else, I'm not saying there are a lot of other people involved there, but ultimately my personal objective is to do what's best for the football team. That's what it always is.
After working with a guy for 3 years in the system, do you think by year four, or maybe even sooner, you have a good idea of what that player is? Or is it varied position to position?
Well, every player is different. So, and there are positions that are different. But, that's the more information you have, I think the easier it is to make the right decision. Things change. Guys improve. Sometimes players decline, or they deal with injuries, or sometimes your system changes, which hasn't happened here, but that has happened in other organizations. And I've been a part of those where you have a coaching change or something, a philosophical change, and then that changes things. So, the rate of improvement and the degree of improvement can change. You know, Matt Cassel, when he played his fourth year after not playing at all his first 3 years, performed at a very high level in the 2008 season, right? Yeah. He was a fourth-year player. Some guys do in the second year, some guys do in the third year, some guys do in the first year, I don't know. I don't think there's any book on that. I think you go by what you see, and you make your decisions accordingly. But I think as long as the player's improving, that's a good thing. You know, you always want the rate of improvement to be a little bit faster, but if the player's improving day to day, week to week, year to year, then I'd say generally speaking, you want to continue to work with that player because he's continuing to get better once they've leveled off and they've reached the level that they're going to play at on a consistent basis. Then you have to decide how you feel about that level of play. If you like it, then great. If you don't like it, then you try to find somebody that can move ahead of it. And if it declines, then you replace it if you can. If you can't, then you manage it until you can replace it. I mean, it's not that hard, really, in terms of making the judgment of what to do isn't that hard. Identifying the player's progress, improvement, rate of improvement, or lack of it. Sometimes there are a lot of circumstances that surround that, like, for example, opportunity that you don't always have control over. So then you have to do the best you can.
Let's go out there on your view, so improving then? in year four?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We see him, and obviously you have far more information than we do. We get a little snapshot. It seemed like a little bit of a roller coaster type preseason, in, not just in games, but in practices. But I realize there are a lot of variables there. So you're satisfied with his growth and development here in year four?
Look, I think that there's not one player on the team that hasn't had their ups and downs through training camp and preseason games. Or coaches, for that matter. So, yeah, I think that there's, you know, this isn't a straight line for anybody, for any of us, much as we want it to be. That's just totally unrealistic. So you look at it over a broader stretch. You look at it from, you know, 3 weeks or the first 2 weeks of preseason or all four preseason games or this preseason compared to another preseason that's comparable or, you know. And again, there's still factors there that are variable. I mean, they're not all the same. So do the best you can to make that evaluation. But I'm sure we'll have varying opinions on different players and their performances. And so that's, you know, understand that.
Final question.
As you prepare, as difficult as it is to release a guy who's done everything you've asked, what's the experience like to tell maybe a guy that's fighting for a roster spot that he has made?
Well, the reality of it is this is the National Football League, and there are plenty of guys that are going to be on rosters today, tomorrow, and week one that won't be on them in week three or week four. I mean, that's the National Football League. So, you know, you keep your job by earning your job on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's one of the things sometimes that players, younger players, especially don't have a lot of experience in the league, can make a poor judgment on. They work hard in training camp, they make the roster, make the practice squad, or earn playing time, or whatever it is, and then feel like, you know, they don't have to do as much and that they've kind of arrived at a certain point. And a few weeks later, other players pass them by and their situation changes. And that's not uncommon at all. And I think that's it's a hard thing to sustain high-level performance in this league. So you start at the end of July and sustain it all the way through preseason games and training camp practices and all that. But the season hasn't started yet. So, you know, mental toughness, consistency, resiliency, dependability, being able to do it day after day after day at a high level. I mean, the competition level is moving up now, not down. I mean, the players that aren't NFL players are off rosters, and the guys who are on them are theoretically better than the ones who are off them. So the competitive level is higher weekly in practice. It's higher in games. Some players will rise with that. That competitiveness, the competition will push them up. Some of them, it doesn't work that way. And if that's the case, then they're going to be replaced. And if they don't know that and they make that mistake, they're going to find out the hard way. So, yeah, as much as you want to say, you know, nice job, you made the team, you know, they're not a permanent fixture on the team. They're here until, as long as they're doing their job and they're dependable and reliable and consistent and improving. Once that curve starts to head the other way, I would say it probably isn't going to last too long. And if they can't figure that out, then they're probably going to suffer the consequences. So, that's the NFL. I mean, it's the way it is here, and really it's the way it is on every team I've been on. It's every team, I imagine it's that way on every team in the league. So, you know, I know what you're saying. It's a good moment, but it could, it's like a castle in the sand. It could be gone, you know, very, very quickly. So I hope none of our players, young players, guys who are the first time they've been on this team, take that attitude. I think that would be a big mistake on their part. Hopefully they won't do that. Okay. All right. Thank you.